Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, October 26th, 2022. I'm on your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. I'm joined by host of PS I Love You, XOXO, aka WWE Superstar, aka Greg Miller.
Hello, Blessing. How are you? That was a great introduction. Thank you for remembering the WWE Superstar bit. You never talked about that.
Honestly,
thank you.
I didn't want to give it to you, but saying it out loud the first time made me realize that it does sound good, and I like saying it.
Yeah. I also want to thank you for listening to my commentary earlier when I got here and dressing down a bit. Of course, the Gamescast is live right now. You can go watch the Gamescast, and I looked like such a schlub next to you. You know what I mean? I looked like that beaten, weathered father I am. Next to the young hotness, next to the man in the pea coat, next to the man, you know, this guy is about to go out and wreck shop on the town. Right now, you still look better than me. Don't get me wrong. Just your MO. You're always going to look better than Greg Miller. But I appreciate now it's just a skate hoodie. I feel like I fit in again.
A skate hoodie and a chain. Don't forget the chain.
The chain's great. The chain's great. And again, that's what elevates you to another level.
Thank you. Do you not have the inclination to, you know, dress up more that we're in person.
Or wear a chain.
I feel like a Greg Miller chain actually would be fire.
Yeah, I never wore a chain. I've never had the necklace thing. Yeah, once I wore a cross on a plane. Like the first time we ever, went for a flight, my mom looked over. She's like, "Are you wearing a cross right now?" I'm like, "A crucifix." I'm like, "Yeah." Because I was a little kid and I was scared to fly. You know what I mean? It's your first time getting in a plane.
You didn't want the demons in the air to get you.
No, I don't. Who knows? You know what I mean? Yeah, Catholic school.
Satan's army in
Catholic
the
clouds. School. I got a whole bunch of crucifixes ready to go over here. You know, I'm ready for anything.
Because for me, the switch has been, you know, I would like to dress nice when I was working from home.
Yeah.
But, you know, wearing a bomber jacket, wearing a denim jacket, wearing like a nicer shirt, all that stuff felt weird when I was sitting in my bedroom with my bed behind me and when I was still feeling like I was, you know, at home. I didn't feel like I was going anywhere.
Yeah.
Now that I'm going to a place, I feel more inclined to
100%. Even dressing up, I don't think is the right thing. Just wearing newer, nicer things. Because Tim did the same thing. Tim went back to school shopping. And I think if you look at the Kinda Funny podcast, he's in a very nice sweater that he's been getting a lot of compliments about. And so there's something going on there.
Oh, I thought it was the chair. I thought the chair is like what made him look good.
Also true, but people did like the sweater a lot. Okay. And so for me, you know, even then I was wearing a new sweatshirt, you know what I mean, at the time, and I thought that looked good. It was just yesterday's comparison on the Gamescast when I looked at the monitor and I saw you again. Coat.
Thank you.
Nice undershirt. Yeah, you had the tie-dye on yesterday, right?
I did have the tie-dye on.
You made that. That's homemade.
I did make that.
And you had that, and then I forget what I was wearing, but I was at the end of a long Ghostbusters day of being in a jumpsuit, and I'm just, oh yeah, I was wearing like a Foxhound shirt or whatever. I was just like, oof. Blessing's carrying it right now.
I don't know entirely what the our game awards plans are, but if you're planning to go to game awards,
remember we're going.
We're going. Yeah. Me and you. It's confirmed.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Did we talk about this? I thought we talked about.
We talked about it, but I don't know what's public information, what's private information.
You can.
Does the world
have my permission to say anything you want about where you're going?
Oh, all right.
As long as it doesn't violate an embargo.
Well, I'm going to game awards.
I still think we have a ticket for you yet, though. Isn't that one of the things? I'm working on that. Right.
Like a plane ticket, or
no? A plane ticket we gotta buy. That's easy. I'm talking about the ticket to the Game Awards, right? Wasn't that part of it?
Like, I mean, when you said I was going to the Game Awards, I assumed that meant that like we got in with media passes or something.
I mean, I assume that too.
So maybe you're going to the Game
after
Awards.
After this, we should talk.
Google Game Awards.
We should
right
talk
now.
After this because like I have access to maybe buy a ticket if I
no,
need
no,
to
no,
buy
no,
a
no, no, no. We can get you in. I just can't remember if we closed the loop where they responded back like, gotcha. Yeah, we got Blessing.
I have
like
not
Looper?
Gotten any update.
Like Looper, very like Looper. Much so, yeah.
I've not gotten an update. I bring up Game Awards, though, because, of course, last year, you know, I collaborated with my homie, Yusef Magid, and we went above and beyond in terms of creating for me an outfit to wear.
Sure.
That was the, you know, white blazer, the turtleneck, the chain, all that stuff. And I felt really good about that outfit, which has me
Are
thinking,
you and I about to do a Pretty Woman montage where Yusef dressed us both?
I would love that so much. Because that's been my thing is...
You and me coming out, and he's like, no. And then, yeah.
Because I've been thinking about how am I going to wild up myself for this next Game Awards? How am I going to you know, up the fashion statement? Because it did feel great dressing up last year. Because it turns out, you know, a lot of men in games media, and I feel like didn't use that as an opportunity to dress up. A lot of women were going off. A lot of women were looking incredible in their outfits during the Game Awards. But I feel like the dudes could have stepped up more, right? Like, that was kind of the general thing I was looking. So I wanted to you know, raise the level this next Game Awards. Are you with me? Are you going to, you know, go above and beyond with your outfit?
I mean, if Yousef wants to dress us both, yeah, I'm in.
Okay. We can make this happen.
All right, cool. I'm also emailing Jeff right now about your ticket.
Perfect. Thanks so much. As you do that, let me tell you about today's stories, which include a Witcher remake being announced, a new mystery PlayStation studio, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic creator code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, a new Kinda Funny Games cast is up with us talking about Marvel Snap.
And he looks good in it.
And I look good in it. Plague Tale Requiem, Bayonetta 3, Overwatch 2, and our predictions for the rest of the year. You can find that on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the
world. Go watch on YouTube to see how good Blessing looks then.
Yes.
Also hear about how great Marvel Snap is. Mm-hmm. And then also hear me say, like, hey, I'm glad Andy's enjoying Plague Tale. Just never been for me, despite the fact that people say all the time I would like it, right? Mm. At which point you would think people would go, you know what? Thanks for trying, Greg. Both of these Plague Tales. You know, we've said before, we thought the first one was for you. We'll walk away. Mm. Instead, I wake up to this 10 minutes ago, this tweet from Caleb. Just started listening, and I think Game Over, Greg, you should push through and continue a Plague Tale Requiem. Story is great with really emotional ending and a lot of cool Uncharted set piece moment vibes. Agree on gameplay being basic, but it seems right up your alley. I mean, the entire crux of my fucking argument in the show you're listening to, Caleb. Everybody says it should be up my alley, and it just doesn't work.
Greg, I think you should really try it.
You should probably check it out. Is it, like, does it retire you that people want us to play every single video game? Because I feel like I get tweets for any major release of, like, oh, man, bless you, check this out, man. No way, Kind of Funny's talking about it. And I'm like, oh, that's probably because it's none of our game.
Yeah, it doesn't, tiring isn't the right word, because obviously it's amazing, and I'm not even, like, making a joke or anything. Mm. It's an honor and a blessing. It's so cool that when people see a video game, they think about it. And the fact that, of course, people want to share something they love, or they know that what I love and they think I would love it because of that. It's just always that thing of, like, when somebody has that kind of recommendation, I think they sometimes forget that we've probably had it recommended 1,000 yes. times. And so there's a reason we haven't done the thing or talked about the thing. But then there is the one that gets through, right? Where, like, Moonlighter, where I totally missed the release of Moonlighter. Nobody had talked to me about Moonlighter. And then, what, 7 months after it was out, somebody put on the subreddit, like, this is a Greg Miller ass game. Why hasn't he played it? And I was like, fuck, you're right.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit different of a scale than a Plague Tale, I think.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I've had the same thing where I have had recommendations from people online and I check a thing. Like, Aegis Rim. God, 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim. Yeah, I don't know why I thought Operation. Well, like, that's a game that a hell of people recommended to me online.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what, man? I'm going to give this a college try. And I tried it and I absolutely loved it. It was one of my favorite games of the year, even though it didn't come out this year. But I think for me, it's more so the Xenoblade Chronicles 3s of the world, where I'm like, no, this is an excellent game. I trust everybody who's told me that this is an excellent game.
Yeah.
But I played 2 hours of it, and I know it's not my personal jam.
Sure.
And yet, every week, there's somebody that's like, yo, bless, you should check out Xenoblade. And I'm like, listen, I know you love it.
It's just Cisco every time.
It's every single time it's Cisco in my DM. He's like, listen to the thong song and play Xenoblade. And I'm like, I'll do one of those things.
Is Cisco really into Xenoblade?
Yeah, you never heard that story when Cisco was like, hey, I want to come to E3. And we're like, or actually, when he was just like, I sucks you get to go to E3. I'm like, do you want to come? You can cover it for us. I almost said IGN. You can cover it for us. Kind of funny where we work. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, all right, give me your top 5 games so I can get you demos. And I was totally expecting it to all be like AAA, you know, PlayStation exclusive, Xbox exclusive, mm-hmm. Call of Duty, something like that. I didn't know Cisco's preferences at the time. And no, number one was Xenoblade Chronicles.
That's awesome.
I was like, holy shit, he's a nerd.
I knew he went to E3 with y'all. I forgot the Xenoblade love. That's great.
Back to housekeeping. After today's episode of KFGD, Greg is busting ghosts once again in Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed with the full crew. If you miss it live, you can catch the archive on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Fargo Brady, on YouTube. Today, we're brought to you by Policy Genius and the official Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power podcast. But We'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have seven stories today.
A baker's dozen.
There it is. Starting with our number one, CD Projekt Red announces a remake of The Witcher in Unreal Engine 5. This comes from Joe Screbbles at IGN. CD Projekt Red has announced that it will remake The Witcher in Unreal Engine 5 alongside developer Fool's Theory. This is one of the five new games the company announced earlier this month and previously went by the codename Canis Majoris. This will be a true remake, with the company saying it will, quote, be rebuilt from the ground up in Unreal Engine 5 and is in early stages of development. As part of its announcement, the company cautioned, quote, we want to do this right, so please be patient. It's going to be a while until we can share more details.
Well, they shouldn't have shared this footage. This looks like shit.
I don't think this is real. The Witcher is where it all started for us, for CD Projekt Red. It was the first game we ever made, and it was a big moment for us then. Going back to this place and remaking the game for the next generation of gamers to experience, it feels just as big, if not bigger, said Adam Badowski, head of studio CD Projekt Red, in an announcement post. Quote, collaborating with Fool's Theory on the project is just as exciting as some of the people there have been previously involved in the Witcher games. They know the source material well. They know how much gamers have been looking forward to seeing the remake happen, and they know how to make incredible and ambitious games. And although it'll take some time before we're ready to share more about the game, I know it'll be worth the wait. End quote. Greg Miller, a Witcher remake in Unreal Engine 5. Is it the right move for CD Projekt Red?
1,000%, right? Like, I think you see CD Projekt Red laying out what their future is for the Witcher franchise, all these code names, of course, Cyberpunk stuff in there too. As you go forward, there are so many people who have been left behind where, you know, the old game is old adage rings true. Witcher 3 was this giant game, this giant coming out party, put CD Projekt Red into a different stratosphere in terms of game development. And I think you had to be pretty hardcore to then want to go back and play these older games that might not hold up. You know what I mean? I remember at the time Christine Steimer went back and she played, getting ready for Witcher 3, Witcher 1 and 2 and stuff. And I'd come over and watch her play and be like, oof,
yeah,
this is rough. But I understand why, into the story, I understand why to do it. I think you see the runaway success of The Witcher on Netflix and how that, you know, remember that then fed into Witcher 3's concurrence on Steam and sales and all these different things. And the fact that there's just so much juice still in that franchise, and there's still so much lore in there that's unexplored. And I think for me personally, even like I, you know, have recently been, what was it? I guess, you know, I get through osmosis some of the fantasy stuff. You know, I'm not a big fantasy knights, elves kind of thing, right? I always make fun of Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, but Jen is big into that. So there's been a lot of me laying on the floor playing Marvel Snap recently, but playing other games on my Steam Deck while she's been watching the new season of Rings of Power or watching the other one. I thought that was another ant. There was an ant on me beforehand. I'll tell you what, that's the creepiest thing I've ever
done. Do you have any theories on where that ant came from?
No, and that's always the worst
ant
part.
In the studio.
Yeah, no, definitely, right? It's just one little picnic ant. I mean, how long has he been here? Who knows? You know, I rolled down my windows this morning to, you know, get the fog off him. Maybe that. Maybe he was on my window. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I think it's been on you this whole time.
Maybe I'm all ants. You know what I mean? Oops, all ants.
A bunch of ants in a human suit?
Yeah, exactly.
God.
Anyways. I've been occasionally looking up at that, I've been doing the thing of course, there's no chance of this happening because of where we are in review season, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, man, I never finished Witcher 3. Like, I could go for re-rolling the Witcher 3.
Me and you are the same person in this way, because, like, I'm the same exact way with fantasy, where fantasy generally doesn't do it for me, but yeah. I started The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
And, like, I really enjoyed
me
it
too.
During my time with it, but I didn't finish it because I got lost looking for Dandelion or something.
Totally, yeah. I think what it was, and you could probably correct me, kindoffunny.com/wrong. I want to say I put 30 hours into the time, and, like, I had a great time with it, but it was just, like, I never got out of Act 1. I was so, side quest, yeah. And it was just, like, it was the same thing that probably would kill me now, where I don't have enough time to do that and live that because I moved on to the next review and the next review and the next review. But I've been like, I think it was when they mentioned that the next gen versions are still coming for Witcher 3 or something like that. I was like, oh man, maybe when PS5 would drop, I would play that. In the same vein, like, this gets me excited. If you were to say, especially with how they've talked about these other Witcher projects, right? That they, and the fact they're coming out so quickly, they want them to come out so quickly. Mm-hmm. You imagine they're going to be smaller, more digestible games, at which point I'd be all about it. And so to go back and be with Geralt from the beginning, you know, get the Triss backstory, see what's going on with Yennefer in the game universe and what they do with there. Because I know in Witcher 3, there's so much subtext that I would have to turn to Steinberg and be like, what is going on? Why are they? Oh, okay. She tricked him. Oh, that's weird. Okay. Well, you know, like, I'd love to play that from the start and go through that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, when we're talking about CD Projekt Red as a studio, but also as a publisher, I think they're going about it the right way if they want to get that many games out in a short period of time.
For sure.
Which is, hey, let's collaborate with this developer, Fool's Theory, and have them work on the remake while we work on whatever the next iteration of it is. And yeah, like talking about Witcher 3 once again, you know, I think about a month or so ago, we were talking about The Witcher 3, and me and Janet got into like GTA 5 comparisons, and people were like, "What? Who compared GTA 5 to The Witcher 3? And I got annoyed by that, and I looked it up. I was like, why did we think that people were comparing it at the time? And what it came down to was the fact that Witcher 3, of course, came out in 2015. 2 years before that was GTA 5. GTA 5 at the time was being heralded as like, oh, this is like the open world game that is like taking things to the next level. And Witcher 3 was kind of the next up on that list of, oh, Witcher 3 comes out, and now this is the landmark open world game. And for me, that is the thing that got me into The Witcher 3, right? It was less so just the narrative and the fantasy portions of it. It was more so it as a video game and what it was doing with side quests, with what it was doing with all the question marks, the quality of the writing and a lot of the side quests. That was the thing that really hit for me.
100%. And that's why I feel like even though I never rolled credits on it, I got my experience out of it because those side quests were so good. You know what I mean? When it was you're going after a monster and just doing witchery things, right? And it wasn't about chasing the overall thing and trying to find out where Ciri is, right? Like, it was like, oh, damn, like, I get this. And it also set it up so well of, I think, I wish, if I was to replay it now and start it now, right? Which I tried to on Switch when we were watching The Witcher, and that was supposed to be a bad move because it just you know, didn't look good. But when I, you know, if I was to come in with the current context on it, I think it would play so much better of, I feel like I know who Geralt is now. I understand who the characters are. And it's not about the overarching narrative if I don't want it to be. It can be like the show is with Henry Cavill, where it is, cool, this episode is just about hunting this monster. This episode is just about getting into the shenanigans. And that's what the side quest would be. Yeah. And I feel like I could do better with that nowadays. Maybe even playing over a longer period of time and sticking with it.
There's like a, maybe a strong 5 to 8 hours where I played Witcher as like a Yu-Gi-Oh simulator, like the first season of the Yu-Gi-Oh anime was Duelist Kingdom, where they're on an island and just running into different duelists and dueling. That's how I played The Witcher, where I was just like, this is a Gwent video game for me, where I'm like finding new Gwent players and beating them and collecting whatever their card is. Gwent was one of my favorite, if not my favorite thing to do in The Witcher. And I think the game was special in that way, where it was one of those RPGs where it can be what you want it to be. You can't just focus on that. You can just focus on doing the hunts for the different monsters. You can focus on the main storyline. And, you know, if you're like me and you play as much of it as you want to and then trickle away, that's fine. If you are more of a hardcore fan and see it all the way through and maybe do all the quests, that's fine as well. But for The Witcher 3, playing through it, I never thought about going back to Witcher 1 and 2. Like, that was the main thing for me, which I knew Witcher 3 was a jump. I knew it was a step forward. And I knew that, you know, for what Witcher 3 was bringing to the table, I probably wouldn't enjoy Witcher 1 and 2 as much because those games are more linear. Those games are older. Those games probably didn't feel as modern at the time when I was playing
Witcher
3.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So going back and remaking Witcher 1, I think is especially smart because you're also talking about a franchise that is seeing a resurgence constantly because with every new season of the TV show, we get new stories about how, oh man, Witcher 3 is back up in sales. Witcher 3 is now seeing a new resurgence. And in the way that we talk about The Last of Us, which with Last of Us Part 1 and why PlayStation would put this game out again, it's because when the TV show comes out, people are going to be looking for The Last of Us. Man, okay, where do I start off with this thing? Let me buy The Last of Us 1. Let me then buy The Last of Us 2. I think it's the same idea for The Witcher, which is, oh yeah, people are going back to The Witcher 3 just based off the TV show. Think about if you have a game that is modern, that is just called The Witcher, that they can hop into and then beat that and go, oh man, I want more of this. Now let me play Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Or maybe they remake Witcher 2 as well.
I would think, they're well on their way to remaking Witcher 2 if they're jumping into this.
Yeah.
Because, like that would be the thing. Blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we loved about work from home, and there was a few things, right, other than pajamas and everything else, was the ability that anybody could crash the set at any time and tell us we're wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And what I love about now being back in person is that is impossible.
Yeah.
I never have to listen to Paris Lilly again. You know what I mean? Because, of course.
Do you think he's just, like, in the Discord call right now?
He's,
like,
oh, he was, where are they? He was slacking me, saying, no, you have to play it. You have to play the thing. But I don't have to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't have
to.
Yes, you do. Nah, fuck.
Oh, God damn it.
Hello, Paris. How are you?
I'm good. Oh man, I'm not on video. I see the weird virtual
thing
in the background.
But that's still you. The little dot, the little Discord dot. We understand that.
The only
that's
time
Paris.
I've been bigger than Paris.
Paris, you're popping off in Slack, yelling at us about Witcher. What's happening?
No, seriously, you need to finish The Witcher 3, if for no other reason, so you can get to Blood and Wine. It's an expansion, DLC, whatever you want to call it, but yeah. It's damn near its own game. That's how big and expansive it is. It's really good. So I would highly suggest you, but everyone listening to this or watching this, finish The Witcher 3, jump into those DLCs. They're fantastic. Hearts of Stone and Blood and Wine.
Now, you say finish it. Is it finish it because the story is so good, or just because it's so much fun to play all the way through? Oh, he transforms. Both. Okay. Both. Both. Okay. Okay.
Right. No, it's both. I mean, it's absolutely worth getting to the end of that story, and you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but you know, you'll see. But then that's going to lead you directly into Hearts of Stone. You want to play through that. There's going to be an old villain that comes back into that plays into something earlier you do in the game, and then you get to Blood and Wine, and like I said, that's like its own thing, man. It's really okay. Good, and the fact that they're about, I would assume those next gen updates are about to hit.
Yeah,
I hope
those?
They would come this year.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, especially if you're Radic, who works at CD Projekt and tweets and you're wrongs us all the time. What's the update on that? Where's the thing? Give us an exclusive right now. That's what I want to know. Where's it going? That's what I want to know. There it is. You actually play Hearts of Stone, Blood and Wine without even playing the main game. So Radic is there. Radic, I need you to.
You're Radic. Radic even said, yeah, he is correct. You do not need to finish the main game to play Hearts of Stone and Blood and Wine, but I highly suggest that you do. That's just me.
Greg, I do have a news story from...
Radic, DM me on Twitter the release date for this so we can break the news.
Well, speaking of this, one, let us break the news, but also GamesRadar an hour ago has an article saying The Witcher 3 next-gen update news is coming soon. This is Dustin Bailey, who says, in the wake of today's announcement of The Witcher remake, oh my god, I got a pop-up from GamesRadar, developer CD Projekt Red has provided the teensiest, tiniest update on when we can expect news on The Witcher 3 next-gen update. One fan asked the studio on Twitter if there was, quote, any word on Witcher 3 for next-gen. CD Projekt simply replied, soon. There was a winky face, emoticon, and everything. Radic, let us know what soon means.
Yeah, soon. Yeah, give us the exclusive. Who's going to get mad?
Hey, he said in 2022. That's all he can say for now.
Yeah, in the chat there. Next-gen Witcher 3 is still coming in 2022. That's all I can say now. Winky emoji face!
Okay.
Stop it with the winky emojis! But 2022, we're running out of time. So this could line up nicely. Mm. So, you know, we did the whole Gamescast hype check for the rest of the year, right? So let's say finish Ragnarok, review that thing, right? Then move on, and then I got to worry about... I want to play
Sonic Frontiers.
I do want to play Sonic. Mm. You know that. I want to play Pokemon. Again, how long I stay in either of these games, nobody knows. Who knows what's up? Then I'm into Callisto. Mm-hmm. And then if it's dropping in December, right, that could be my Christmassy Thanksgiving. Oh, you motherfucker. You motherfucker, Radic. Is there another Witcher season coming out this holiday?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, because that was that. No, remember, that's when they had that moment last time when it was. I remember watching all of the Witcher
that
marathon.
Been smart. Yeah, would have been smart.
I bet Henry Cavill screwed it up. Got to go back to Superman,
too busy.
Everybody.
I wouldn't have canceled Netflix if they were coming out with a new season soon.
But you'll re-up when they come back.
100%.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I just typed in The Witcher Netflix.
Greg should play Pikmin. Get out of here, Laker Shed.
Can this be a PS Love You thing?
What?
Can we do a Witcher 3, we revisit it, review 2022, 2023 for The Witcher?
Sure.
I don't want to, like, give us plan.
Let's not do the thing where we put a date on it or anything like that.
Because I know it always goes wrong when we're like, we're going to replay this thing and then it turns into a burden. But I think it would be a fun idea to do a, all right, cool, the PSW cast plays The Witcher in 2023.
Sure.
And gives their Witcher 3 review.
Okay.
Review.
I'm interested. I'm excited for that. Yeah, I could like that.
Hey, Blessing.
What's up?
Blessing, you know, I am still here. I would love to be a part of that, even though I know
But you're on the X-Cast.
Yeah, you are an Xbox person. If you say that PS Plus is a better deal than Game Pass, we'll let you on.
Barrett desperately trying to enlarge this window so Paris's head's a little bit bigger.
It's a lot to do live.
Oh my god. I will not say that, Blessing, because that is not a true statement.
That's fair. I mean, you're right. It's not a true statement, but it's the statement you got to make. You want to be on PS Love You, you know what I mean? Oh, we can make that happen.
Look at me. I'm Kratos. I'm Kratos with Mimir.
I'm actually very... I don't like this because I don't have my camera connected, so I literally can't jump to video, and you're doing this. So
sorry,
I'm
okay. Well, we'll see you later. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much, Paris. We'll have our people talk to
you.
People.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Peace out.
Barrett, that was amazing. Great job getting that on the fly. I'm proud of you. I know we're only week two in the studio. We're still working on audio levels and a million other things. Put this in the to-do pile. What I liked, I saw it went by forever ago. But when Paris popped up originally, someone in one of the chats said, Otacon, It would be awesome if you could give the codec noise ding ding when like somebody needs to join. We're like, oh sorry, we're getting a transmission, and then somebody pops up.
There's got to be some kind of filter we can either find or create that is just.
Oh, we could make that note. Andy can make that in 2 seconds.
I would like the intro. The only thing of like distorting their voice is just because Discord is going to distort stuff already.
Yeah,
so sure. I want them to come in clear. But I like the idea of that being a little intro there for people calling in.
That'd be hot. Story number two. PlayStation is building a new studio to work with Naughty Dog on an unannounced game. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Sony is building a new development studio to work with Naughty Dog on a major PlayStation game. As spotted by VGC, a job listing shows the new team is being created in collaboration with PlayStation Studios Visual Arts, a developer that previously assisted with PlayStation's motion capture, cinematics, animation, and more across several franchises, including Uncharted and The Last of Us. This new developer will then work with Naughty Dog to create a PlayStation game. Quote, this high visibility project is being developed in collaboration with Naughty Dog, the job listing reads. Quote, though currently unannounced, we have a clear vision and plan to release. Using our existing expertise and premier talent, we'll guarantee a high visual quality bar for the game and a compelling experience for our players, end quote. Though Sony doesn't say explicitly that the new game will be a AAA production, it does request that the candidate is, quote, proficient in all aspects of AAA game production and management, and has published at least two AAA games previously. Though nothing is confirmed, hints toward PSS Visual Arts becoming a developer of its own projects instead of supporting others have appeared throughout the last few years. One job listing from 2020 showed the company was hiring for a third-person action-adventure game with melee and ranged combat. This description would appear to match an Uncharted game, tying in nicely with the Naughty Dog collaboration. And the studio's creative director, Sean Eskig, said earlier this year that it's a world, quote, we want to see more of, end quote. Greg, a mystery PlayStation studio working with Naughty Dog on an unannounced game.
Well, that's my confusion. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading, we know PlayStation Studios Visual Arts has been around, we talked about before.
Yes.
That's the thing that exists. And so a job listing shows a new team is being created in collaboration with them. Is it a standalone studio, or is it just another, we're hiring people to work under the PSVA banner, which is fair.
I would imagine it's a new team within PlayStation.
Not that this matters at all. Who cares? They're making a team.
Like, I don't think it's gonna. There's a new team that's gonna take a new spot in the PlayStation Studios lineup.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I think it's just weird. I think it might. I'm just getting hung up on nomenclature here because I just want to make sure we're not talking about making a new studio as much as a new team within an existing studio. But again, I'm getting into the weeds here. It's cool that they're supporting Naughty. What's that?
Jeff Grubb, who, you know, big caveat, right?
Because sure.
Jeff Grubb in the
wrong
chat saying,
all the time.
Yeah. Says, I think it's a team in VAG.
All right. He was right this time, and so was I. So that's great.
Wow.
IGN, get your facts straight. You know what I mean, Jeff? You know what I'm saying? What's up?
Yeah, Ryan Dinsdale.
Say it to my face, Dinsdale. Anyways, though, all that aside, awesome. You know what I mean? Like, again, this is what PlayStation Studios Visual Arts, which I think are among the unsung heroes of how PlayStation Studios work, and the fact that, you know, you think about a Guerrilla, you think about a Naughty Dog, you think about it all being inside of one building, right? When in reality, for most of these projects, or a lot of these projects, I shouldn't say most, a lot of these projects, there are people outside of that studio working, right? There are basically swing shifts of other people, whether it's, you know, something similar to Guerrilla helping Kojima, right, with the
engine.
Decima, yeah, with the Decima engine, or just people sharing artists or designers and things like that. That does happen, and people do help with other games. And PlayStation Studios Visual Arts, from what I understand, and what we've reported on before, right, is that kind of catch-all utilitarian group of players that then go out and do it. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome that Naughty Dog is moving on to whatever this project is. And, you know, is it just Factions or whatever we want to call it? Is it something brand new? Is it somewhere else there? But they're working with other people so that they're not just stressing out the Naughty Dog team, right, that they are able to go out there.
Greg, Amy Antos writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with Sony reportedly opening a new studio, and we'll say team, a new team to work with Naughty Dog, could this be a new Uncharted game given 5 years since the last one? Do you guys feel it is too early still? And if it is a new game, what could opening a new studio, and again, team, offer to improve this franchise as opposed to Naughty Dog going solo? Oh, is there a chance that this is a new Uncharted game?
Of course there is. is that what I want? Is that what the audience wants? You get into a million different questions there, right? But I mean, with the success, I'm not raging success by any stretch of imagination, but the success of the Uncharted movie, right? Like that was Tom Holland and that was Mark Wahlberg. And that was, I had fun with that motion picture. I don't think it was perfect by any stretch of imaginations, but I know that that got Uncharted on into the ecosystem and the movie going audience in a way that maybe they hadn't heard before. I always tell the story of, you know, I was at Shake Shack with Jen, right? And the couple next to us who was older, and I don't know, it doesn't strike me as people who play video games, were like, let's go see, literally, let's go see a movie. They're looking at a newspaper this holiday. Let's go see a movie. What about this Uncharted thing? What is that? I don't know, but it's got Spider-Man in it. It looks like, they said they were going to go see Uncharted, right? Like, that's a new audience for them. Were they going to buy the game and yada yada? Who knows? Again, I don't think we saw the success of something like we were talking about with The Witcher or with Cyberpunk Edge Runners, then leading to Cyberpunk having crazy numbers on Steam, stuff like that. But I do think that PlayStation and PlayStation Studios and PlayStation Movies thinks that there's a future in that Uncharted franchise. Personally, if I'm just sitting here being Greg the video game PlayStation guy, I think it's too soon to go back to Uncharted, yes. Especially with the fact we keep putting out, we just talked about it yesterday or 2 days ago, the Uncharted Legacy Collection coming to PC and not doing that well. Not so much not doing so well, but the fact that Uncharted is still in the air right now, and I don't think it's been moved to a special occasion. Like, I still love the idea that if you're going to bring Uncharted back, you wait until the PS6 reveal, and you have this big moment, and it is that, you know, spoilers.
PS6 reveal.
I think the longer you can let... Here's my thing, and this is, you know, Exhibit A, ladies and gentlemen. She's the marathon runner. Thank you. Marathon running, game playing, Janet Garcia. She went back and played all these Uncharted recently, right? And she is not clamoring for more. She is not, I don't hear people saying, I want more Uncharted. I think if you just leave it alone for a longer time and then come back and it is, let's say it picks up with the end of Uncharted 4, right? And I'm not going to spoil it because I know people still get cranky when you spoil it, but like, it picks up with where we end there with not the character you think, but the other people, like, okay, cool. Like, that could be a fun way of doing it. And then, you know, the switch of who Sully is and things like that. Like, a bunch of different things that could make that exciting and fun. But I think you got to let absence make the heart grow fonder. Like, I just don't see people walking around going, man, I want more Uncharted right now.
I agree mostly and disagree just a little bit.
Okay.
Right? Like, I agree in the sense that I personally don't... I'm not hungry for more Uncharted at the moment. I think, you know, there was a PS Love You... maybe a year ago or so, where I think we both were like, and maybe Janet was there too, I forget.
Is Uncharted overrated? Didn't we do something like that?
I don't think it was, I think it might have been before that, where I think this might have been pre-Janet, where we're both like, if they didn't make a new Uncharted, I'd be fine with it. Like, I don't need a new Uncharted from Naughty Dog. Like, I hope their next game isn't Uncharted. And I still stand by that. And, you know, I don't want a new Uncharted anytime soon from Naughty Dog. If it is another studio that is mostly working on it with collaboration from Naughty Dog to, like, you know, they make sure they have everything right in terms of what Uncharted is.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, sharing ideas, sharing assets, all that stuff, right? I'm more okay with that. Meanwhile, Naughty Dog is working on their own thing, whether it be Factions, a new game, Last of Us, or whatever it is, right? I'm totally down with another studio working on Uncharted because it has been, since we're talking, since the last game, the last new game, 5 years, which doesn't feel like a long time, but I think is a long time, especially when we're talking about an IP that is big and I think is fruitful is Uncharted. Like, Uncharted is an IP that for PlayStation, I think they still want to get more out of it. And that's obvious based on the fact that we have a movie, right? Yeah. They're like, yo, let's put out an Uncharted movie. I think that being the case, and with it being a business still, like, 5 years is a while for that IP to be on ice. And of course, you know, we've had ports, we've had collections, we've had all that stuff. But I think, you know, if this new team is working on an Uncharted, and let's say that game is 2 to 3 years away, you know, we're talking about 2024, 2025 for maybe a next new Uncharted game. And let's say it's the game you're talking about that is, you know, let's pick up from Uncharted 4. Let's have it be not Nathan Drake. Let's have it be maybe a different duo or, like, characters connected, but not necessarily Nate and Sully. You know, I think if you're going that direction and having it be this new idea, this new take, this new step for Uncharted, I could see 2024, 2025 being the right amount of time. Mm. You know, at that point, we're talking about, since Lost Legacy, you know, that's 2017 to 2025. That's like 8 years.
Yeah.
For me, that sounds about right. I feel, for me, that's like a good, all right, it's time.
I just feel it's such a, you know, you can slice it either way and what PlayStation are we dealing with and yada, yada, yada. But, like, I want people to be hungry for Uncharted. And I feel like, honestly, the more time that has passed, the more critical people have become of Uncharted in terms of, oh, wasn't that great? And, you know, one of these reasons, of course, is that The Last of Us is Last of Us Part 1 and Last of Us Part 2. You know what I mean? And are those games inarguably probably better as story and gameplay and a million other things? Probably, right? Maybe not in giant set pieces and things like that. And there's, you know, I love Uncharted. But I feel like, I just don't feel like time has been kind so far to Uncharted. And I think that, like, if you could give it more time, that would be great. But I also think it's this weird double-edged sword, because even as those words leave my mouth that time hasn't been unkind to, or time hasn't been kind to them, I still think that if you were to come out and be like, hey, everybody, Uncharted's back, and it's this collaboration with this new team at Visual Arts and Naughty Dog, I think immediately people are going to start loading their guns of, well, it's not just Naughty Dog. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to get back into Uncharted Golden Abyss with Sony Bend, right? Where that game never had a fair shake for a number of reasons, but, like, remove the fact that it's a Vita game and it had to use all these, like, different, you know, touch and the light and all this and rubbing the screen and all that shit. Like, it was also just not a Naughty Dog game, which is fine, but maybe not when Naughty Dog is the people who set the bar for all these things and what adventure games were and really changed the face of PlayStation in terms of what a PlayStation Studios game is, right? Which is this, usually, single-player game that is narrative-driven, that has these big moments. And then to go, okay, well, it's a business, and it is. And, of course, PlayStation wants to make money. They do. It is also that thing of, I still think Naughty Dog has so much power that they can say yes or no to people doing stuff with their games. And I would say that if they're not 100% behind it, then it wouldn't happen. And if they weren't 100%, if they were 100% behind it, I would think they'd want to do it. And so what the collaboration is, that's a question of it, right? And you also look at PlayStation's, you know, lineup and what they do, right? And it's like, I want to point to Sucker Punch and be like, well, Ghost of Tsushima, right? That was a new IP that they got to chase. But it wasn't like Infamous was Uncharted, right? And even ending Nathan Drake's story with Uncharted, like, they didn't have to do that. They could have left it open, and it could have been Indiana Jones, where it's just, you know, every game ends fine and you don't have to tie them all together. Where The Last of Us is going, like, there's so much happening right now, even with Horizon, if you want to talk about an IP that they're still, you know, gonna not milk, that sounds bad, but put into every different property they can. Like, is Uncharted just a victim of it came early, kind of set the pace for all this, and then other PlayStation IPs outpaced it, and now, even though they're trying to catch up with the movie, is the game done? Because even if you were to say, okay, cool, we're making a new Uncharted, and guess what? It's picking up where Uncharted 4 left, and it's this. That doesn't help the person who goes and sees Uncharted 2 with Tom Holland, and they're like, man, I want to play as Nathan Drake, and they come and they pick up a new game, like, oh, this isn't Nathan Drake, this is some other character. Like, they're in this weird situation.
That's where the Uncharted 1-3 remake comes by.
Oh,
is out by
God,
them.
Here we go.
Yeah. And I think you're making very good points. I think the thing that I come around with still is that for PlayStation, I think they look at Naughty Dog as kind of their North Star, which is, hey, this is our, you know, idealized studio, right? These are the kind of games we want to make. These are the IPs we want to work with, right? And I think that comes in the form of Last of Us, that comes in the form of Uncharted. And to your point of Naughty Dog, I think does have that same kind of creative control where it is, if Naughty Dog wants to do whatever, PlayStation will probably let them because they have that kind of trust in Naughty Dog. I do think that, you know, I would imagine that right now Naughty Dog is working on, well, we know they're working on Factions, and I think they'll probably also be working on a new IP or maybe something else in the Last of Us ecosystem. I do not think they're working on Uncharted right now for the reasons that we're talking about in terms of, you know, like, they've done so much Uncharted, and right now I think what's more exciting and hot for them would be for them to work on new stuff and maybe more Last of Us stuff. But I don't know if they would want to work on more Uncharted right now, right?
I don't think they would. Yeah. I don't think they would.
But I also don't know if they would be like, hey, PlayStation, don't make more Uncharted. I think if PlayStation came to Naughty Dog and they sat down and had a conversation of, how do we get more Uncharted out the door, or can we get more Uncharted out the door without you guys putting too much of your focus on Uncharted? I would think that Naughty Dog would be like, yeah, okay, cool, we'll collaborate with another studio.
But like, here's my thing is, anymore. I feel like in that conversation, how can we get more Uncharted out the door? I have to imagine at Naughty Dog in that meeting room, Herman's like, hey guys, how can we get more Uncharted out the door? Mm-hmm. Neil and Evan would have to, I think they would not be able to hide their disgust at the thought of just getting it out the fucking door, right? Like, Jesus Christ, you know what I mean? Like, that's how God of War Ascension got out the door. That's how Jack and Daxter, The Lost Frontier, got out the door. Like, so it is that idea of, like, I think Uncharted means something to them. I don't know necessarily, we're not on the inside, if they want to make more of that. I would think no, because of course you want to move on, you want to create new worlds and things like that. But I think, again, you'd want to leave it there so that one day when you could come back, one day when you have something to say, it would matter. Because that's my – and I'm doing the idealized, God bless him, please, from my mouth to Shuhei's ear, one day PSX comes back.
God, hopefully.
And you know what I mean? Like, imagine if it was you're all in a room, and yeah, it's been a long time, right? Yeah, thank you very much. Since we saw Uncharted, right? And since it is just that it's the PlayStation Studios logo, it's the Naughty Dog logo, and then it is just the, or not even that, probably. It's just somebody doing some adventuring thing, and then it is an old Nate Drake taking over as, you know, Sully. And being like, I'm not even aping Last of Us, but you sure you want to do this, kid, or whatever the fuck? You know what I mean? And it is Uncharted at the end. Like, the place would be go crazy, right? Because it needs that soft reboot, I think, that God of War got, right? And when you look at God of War, right, you're talking about God of War 3 coming out in 2010, God of War coming out in 2018. Yes, I'm skipping Ascension because that's not really what we're counting, right, in terms of the God of War world. But there's a reason we all pop so hard for Kratos, right, when he walked into the light. Like, it was like, holy shit, that's amazing. And it was, like, clearly different. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you were to come out right now and be like, it's been 5 years and we are going back into the Uncharted thing, it's like, okay, but what are you saying with it? What are you doing with it? Why are we coming back to it? And I'm a big idiot, as you know. So I'm sure maybe Naughty Dog, maybe Visual Arts, maybe just somebody who's in school right now learning how to develop video games and will eventually work at Naughty Dog will have that idea and will be like, this is what we're doing. But I just don't think that if you were to come back and be like, Uncharted is back, it is pulp adventure, the bullet points wouldn't hit the same way, right? It just wouldn't hit the same way.
Yeah. I hear you. I'm right there with you. But I'm at the same place where I'm like, I'm curious to see what those bullet points would be, right? Like,
and that's why I would want it just to cook and keep, like, and let it go. Honestly, in a different way, you're in the same conversation with Tomb Raider, where it's like, mm-hmm. we know Crystal Dynamics is making another Tomb Raider, right? We know Crystal Dynamics, of course, you know, stepped on the rake, every rake they had in their arsenal for Avengers. We know that, you know, Shadow of the Tomb Raider was one that was co-developed, right? It was up in Canada, and it was happening at Crystal, and that one wasn't well-received. And so now they are going back, and it's like, great, but what are you going to say? What are you going to do that just isn't, it's Lara Croft doing shit again, and she's the seasoned Tomb Raider now. And it's like, okay.
I guess my other thing, too, is, you know, you talk about the gap between God of War 3 and God of War Reboot 2018, right? And that was about 8 years between those games. We're coming up on that with Uncharted.
Yeah.
You know, again, 2017 for Uncharted Lost Legacy. And I was going to make the Ascension comparison and say, like, oh, yeah, and, like, that was a spinoff. Lost Legacy, way better than Ascension. But if you want to go back to Uncharted 4, right? Like, you're talking about 2016 since Uncharted 4, and it's been six years.
Yeah.
A couple years from now, we're going to hit that 8-year mark.
And a couple years from now, we're pretty close to that PS6. So why not just let it keep? Why not let it keep?
Honestly, now that you make that argument, I can see it, right? Like,
I just think,
how,
like,
far
you're talking
is the
about
PlayStation 6 really?
And that's legitimately where it is, and, like, what you have to do, and, you know, what kind of technology you're pushing for, and yada yada, a million things. But again, I think if you did a PlayStation 6 reveal event, not even live, you're doing it all on camera, whatever, and one of the trailers you put in there was this new Uncharted.
Fire.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, one day I want a new Uncharted. Maybe not today. But do you know what I want today? I want you to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can go and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
You know what I have? No, besides a game award, life insurance. I want to make sure that if anything happens to me, my family's taken care of, and you should do the same. And since life insurance typically gets more expensive as we age, now is the time to buy. I didn't get my first life insurance policy until Ben was born, but it feels great knowing that no matter what, Jen and him are going to be okay. No matter what. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 of coverage. They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. And your personal info is private. No wonder they have thousands of five-star 5-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Go deeper into the canals of Numenor, the mines of Khazad Dûm, and more with the official The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power podcast. Hosted by friend of the show, Felicia Day, and several special guests, they provide an inside look at the groundbreaking series and what it took to bring Middle-earth to life. Each episode of the official podcast features exclusive interviews with the series showrunners J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, including the very first full breakdown of the incredible season finale. Felicia also goes behind the scenes with the cast and crew to bring you jaw-dropping stories and Easter eggs you don't want to miss. Watch The Rings of Power on Prime Video and listen to all 8 episodes of the official The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power podcast for free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app now.
Greg, we have breaking news, but before we get there, you got an unscientific poll.
Yeah, when we were talking about Uncharted, I put up a poll on my Twitter. Do you want a new Uncharted? And I meant to tell everybody to go vote, but I kind of blanked on it. But I assume everybody, you know, look at my Twitter all the time. Turn on notifications, ring the bell. I said, do you want a new Uncharted? And 59.5 said yes. But still very close. Oh. Good news, everybody. There you go.
Some people want a new Uncharted. Of course, we got breaking news. We got a Dragon Age update. This came in a form of a Twitter post from both BioWare and Dragon Age. They did one of those collab Twitter posts that you can do now where they tweeted out, the Dragon Age team is incredibly excited to announce a huge step forward in development. Hashtag Dreadwolf. I go to their website where they have a press release that reads like this. Hello. In my last blog, back in February, I talked about the next Dragon Age game entering the production phase. Well, we've come a very long way since then, and the team is incredibly happy to announce a huge step forward in the development of the game you now know as Dragon Age Dreadwolf. We have just completed our alpha milestone. Up to this point, we've been working hard on the various parts of the game, but it's not until the alpha milestone that a game all comes together. Now, for the first time, we can experience the entire game from the opening scenes of the first mission to the very end. We see, hear, feel, and play everything as a cohesive experience. Now what? Of course, the game is not finished by any means, but Alpha is one of the most important game development milestones for a number of reasons. First and foremost, and honestly, I'm looking through this. I'm like, does any of this matter for us?
Mainly the name, right, in Alpha. I think that's all. If you want more, you can go there. But the fact that you know it's Dragon Age Dreadwolf and they're in Alpha, all right.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And then right here, in closing, of course, Dreadwolf isn't the only thing happening here at BioWare.
Anthem!
We have a team that we're working on Anthem 2. It's coming, everybody. We have a team hard at work at envisioning the future, envisioning what the future holds for a new single-player Mass Effect game. And we look forward to celebrating our community on N7 Day next month. Oh, that's exciting. The SWTOR team, that's Star Wars The Old Republic, also continues to work on their next update. So keep an eye on SWTOR.com.
Just a heads up for you. People call it Sweater, we found out when we were
all Sweater.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool. I like that. Sweater.com. And there are social media accounts for any and all details. Just go there if you want to know more. But cool. Dragon Age. It's coming along nicely.
Totally. Yeah, I know how many Dragon Age fans are out there. It never was one that clicked for me necessarily. But obviously, BioWare has eating a truckload of humble pie. Yeah. So I'd imagine if they're coming back with this, they're coming back and they're trying to be, hey, we are BioWare. You know, I mean, we're granted, you know, turnover and yada yada, but this is what BioWare is known for, right? Like great RPGs, great stories, great relationships, great companions. I'm interested to see what they do with this.
I am cautiously optimistic for this generation's big Western RPGs.
Sure.
Because I've talked about Starfield, it before. Yeah. You know, between what I call the big three now, right? Bethesda, BioWare, CD Projekt Red. They all took massive L's in the last generation. If you're talking about, you know, Fallout 76 and, you know, Cyberpunk 2077 and Anthem and Mass Effect Andromeda, right? Like, these developers that during the era before that were known as like, oh, these are...
They're untouchable.
They're untouchable.
They are the cream of the crop. Yeah,
like, they are out there killing it. All took absolute L's. And now they're all working on projects that I think, you know, excite us, right? Like, there's a Bethesda story in here later that is not about the project, but it's about a different project. But, you know, we're talking about Dragon Age and Mass Effect right now, and they're saying the right things. I hope they're able to put out the right project, right?
100%.
Same with what we were just talking about with CD Projekt Red in terms of, oh, yeah, Witcher Remake is a great idea. Okay, cool. You got a Witcher next iteration coming up? Awesome. Okay, you got more Cyberpunk? Hopefully it's great, you know? Like, if all these projects hit, which is a tall order... But if all these projects, it was that fucking.
I think we asked for it. And I think Barrett's already working on it. What, ladies and gentlemen, calling in via codec, it's Jeff Grubb from GiantBomb.com.
Holy
hey
shit.
Boys, figured calling. I want to talk about Dragon Age real quick. You guys want to know about when that's coming? I looked into this a little bit this morning. So,
hold on, Jeff Grubb. You went through it this morning. Where did you go through it?
Okay. These nuts. What is this joke? What are you setting me up for?
I'm setting you up to promote your fucking show, you idiot. Where do you talk in the morning and people can watch and listen?
I didn't know. This happened after Game Mess morning. It's like all news does because I do it too early like a fool. So this is my own fault.
That's the secret. 10 a.m. But you don't want to go up against us, Jeff.
Yeah, Game
Mess
mornings. Go watch Game Mess mornings in the morning, everybody, over on giantbomb.com. Thanks for that, guys. It's still not coming until at least the later part of next year at the earliest.
Okay.
Based on them coming out with saying this is the alpha right now, it seems like they're setting themselves up for a little bit longer. So I wouldn't expect it before, holiday next year, but probably going to go into 2024 at this point is what I'm expecting and what I'm hearing. But they still think internally it's possible next holiday. It's still on the table at least.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye, boys.
Love it. I love it.
This God is the coolest show ever. Round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin's on vacation. They're trying to set up a stream. Mike's sick. Barrett's still out here making
Jeff,
my dreams
Jeff
come
came
true.
In with that. Okay, he was the one with all the codec noises and stuff.
Well, so I'm giving you the credit. Fuck Jeff.
Fuck yeah.
All right. We're running along the show.
We're having a great time.
And like, I could move on to the next news story, but I do want to pose the question because I think it is still a fascinating question. Do we see the big three come back? Do we see all these next projects from these big three Western RPG developers actually hit, being Starfield, Dragon Age / Mass Effect, and the CD Projekt Red Slate? Does all that shit hit?
See, now, you say the slate where it gets confusing for CD Projekt Red.
Mm-hmm. Let's say for CD Projekt Red, the big next Witcher game and maybe the big next Cyberpunk game. Let's focus on those two.
Okay, I would say for CD Projekt, yes. I think that is a, this is a prediction thing, right? In terms of the Greg Miller certainty, I would put that at near 100%. Because I do think that CD Projekt, it has been an incredibly talented developer. They've been good to their audience for forever. That was their whole shtick. And when Witcher 3 was their big moment, it was great. And then hubris, everything else, technology, just a bunch of bad decisions from the top fucked Cyberpunk, right? And I think that hurt them so much. And I don't even mean in their pocketbooks. I mean, as their reputation, that they are all very well aware, we cannot fuck this up. We cannot make these mistakes again. We need to do right by everybody. Maybe I'm just, believing in the good of people and what I want it to be and yada, yada, yada. But that's what I truly believe. And I think that those people will deliver on those games.
Mm-hmm. To clarify, because the main chat is like, when you say hit, do you mean launch on time or good? I mean, are they good? Are they good quality games? Do they live up to expectation?
BioWare, I would say, is the next one I'm the next most confident in, if that makes sense. Where it's like, it's a similar story there, where it's like, BioWare has tumbled down the hill after being just the golden Western RPG studio, right? Where they could do no wrong. Everybody was so happy with them and so happy with Mass Effect and yada, yada, yada. There's been so much turnover and so much turmoil over there. That's where you get into, well, okay, I don't know, what's going on. I do know that the talent they would attract are the people who grew up on Mass Effect, right? Who cut their teeth on that, who played those and loved those games, and Dragon Age as well. And so you'd imagine they want to come out and hit on that too. But can they? I don't know. And that's a different thing. And that's also hard for me to do since I'm not a Dragon Age person, right? And then Starfield, I would put at not my least confident, but in terms of this, I guess, the thing of where I am still the one of just like, okay. Like, I feel like we still don't know that much about that game. And that's crazy that we are almost playing it this year, right? That almost happened, theoretically. Mm-hmm. And we've had that one demo, right? That was both endearing to some and off-putting to others, where it was like, oh, this kind of just looks like No Man's Sky, but what is the thing? And it is that idea of like, okay, like they have not the most to prove. I don't think that, because all three of these developers have something to prove, but they're trying to prove it with a new IP. They're trying to come out and be like, listen, you just know that we can make awesome RPGs, whether it's Fallout or Skyrim, and now we're going to space in doing that. And it's like, awesome, but you started with a blank slate here, and now we need to know what that's actually going to look like. And so it has the most to prove in that sense, because I feel like it has the most question marks, of its, yeah. It's Fallout in space. Okay, but then you show the demo and it didn't really look like Fallout in space necessarily.
I almost feel like Bethesda has the most to lose, because when you're talking about, you know, how much they have to prove, you know, you look at the previous games, and for both BioWare and for CD Projekt, you know, Cyberpunk was hugely anticipated and let so many people down. Mass Effect Andromeda and Anthem even more, so anticipated and let so many people down. With Bethesda, in terms of misses, you're mainly talking about Fallout 76, which I don't think had that much anticipation to begin with. Like, sure. A lot of people wanted it to be
but
good.
But that was the part of the problem too, right? Where it was like, not only was there no anticipation for Fallout 76, there was the knee-jerk reaction to the announcement of like, this isn't what we want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that you talk about eroding your reputation and not listening to your audience in a certain way.
Exactly. And you're also talking about, before that, Fallout 4, which came out and was good, but didn't set the world on fire the way that previous Fallout games did, right? Yeah. But that wasn't a complete miss from Bethesda. You know, so many people, including me, play Fallout 4 and absolutely loved it. So with their next game, I think with Starfield, it is kind of their game to lose right now, which is, all right, is this the one that ends up being your Cyberpunk? Is this the one where we play and we're like, oh man, Bethesda's lost it? Or is it the one that reminds us like, no, okay, they're solid. Like, they know how to make good games. Fallout 76, which is bad because it had bad direction and vision and was just a different thing from what they usually do. But when they get back to the fundamentals of what they're known for, maybe they can make good stuff.
And that's my thing, where I'm not worried about it being a Bethesda game that, in this, you know, I'm not even making a joke, that doesn't run well or is broken or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just worried about it being interesting and delivering on that. And you figure, again, they're in such an interesting spot of setting themselves up against Obsidian, right? Who some people would argue made the best Fallout game with New Vegas, right? And then, of course, Obsidian made The Outer Worlds, right? And a lot of people adored that. And that was what they wanted. It was Fallout in space. And so now you have them doing, well, now we're doing this, and it's, you know, the insane amount of planets that are out there and that you can go do and all this stuff on. It's like, all right, cool, but am I going to land on those planets and they're pretty empty and boring? Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be the, we understand that, but we're going to patch that in, or that's going to be, you know what I mean? Like, where are we going with this, and what's it actually going to be? There's so many unanswered questions there.
And to, you know, there's so many times I mentioned that, like, you know, Fallout 4 is a huge success, right? And I'm not saying that it wasn't, but I think when you take it, you compare it to something like Skyrim. Skyrim set the world on fire. Fallout 3 set the world on fire. Fallout New Vegas, which is Obsidian, set the world on fire. Or at least, like, set the hardcore audience on fire, right? People love New Vegas. Whereas Fallout 4 came out, I think the reaction to it mostly was, hell yeah, like a new Bethesda game.
More Fallout.
It's fun, but it's more Fallout, right? And that's something that worked for what it was and something that I love, because I love Fallout. But wasn't something that necessarily, I don't think, set the world on fire the way that previous Bethesda games did. But enough about that. I digress. We'll have to see how that comes out next year. Starfield. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm super jazzed for too. Like, I'm, yes. When Bethesda's like, we are doing a single-player open world game, like, yeah, fuck yeah. Let's go. Let's see what's up. But yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Story number three. Capcom is flourishing. This comes from Oisin, I'm going to say Kunke, apologies if I mispronounced that, at GameSpot. Capcom has posted its latest quarterly earnings, showing that Monster Hunter Rise is continuing to sell well. The developer shared the news that Monster Hunter Rise has sold more than 11 million units worldwide, which it reported back in August, and the DLC expansion Sunbreak has now hit 4.4 million units sold, an increase of about 400,000 since the same month. Resident Evil 2 Remake is also confirmed to have sold more than 10 million units. Players also shouldn't expect any new release prior to Resident Evil 4 Remake's release in March next year, as that's the big upcoming title for the developer. Capcom did also report that it's on track to achieve 10 consecutive years of operating income growth, but the latest quarter did report another decline, with net sales being down 29.9% year over year and operating income down by 24.3% year over year. I got some bullet points from Nibel, which basically encompass all the things we just talked about, right? Some highlights from Capcom's newest financial report. Monster Hunter Rise has surpassed 11 million units. RE2 has surpassed 10 million units. No big release before RE4 in March, and Capcom expects to sell 40 million games next year due to growing catalog sales. And the big thing I want to highlight here is the fact that we're getting no big Capcom release before Resident Evil 4 in March. Because that means, Greg, that Street Fighter 6 is not coming before Resident Evil 4 in March. Which goes against my prediction of, oh man, that game surely has to be coming in January, February. Because playing that closed beta,
you thought it was, you're like, you could have shipped this.
That game feels so ready. And of course, take your time with it. Don't rush it. You know, do all the things you need to do. But goddamn, do I want that game right now. I'm ready for it. But we'll have to wait until post-March, apparently.
Okay. You can make it. I think there's going to be enough games out next spring that you'll be probably okay.
Seemingly, yeah. We might talk. I forget if I have that in my... There's more games that were announced for around that...
Great. Awesome.
Yeah, around that period. So we'll see. Story number four. Hideo Kojima claims his new game is like a new medium. This is Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. Hideo Kojima has claimed that one of his next games is like a new medium. Speaking in a new interview with The Guardian, the director spoke briefly about one of his upcoming projects. Quote, "It's almost like a new medium," Kojima said about one
Stop
of his
saying new medium.
upcoming games. You think he means like Medium, the video game, the one that Grant Miller really likes?
Oh, man.
He's making a sequel.
I don't really like it.
Quote, "If this succeeds, it'll turn things around, not just in the games industry, but in the movie industry as well," end quote. And I'm gonna end the story there because I think that's
remember
all
when
really
he
need.
Said with Death Stranding before
you're already playing it.
Yeah, you're already playing
you're
it.
You're already playing it. He was right, connecting with each
Hideo
other.
Kojima.
All right.
Listen, did he lie about Death Stranding? Was that not a different genre than what we had played before? Was that game not a Strand game? I think it was.
It was a Strand game.
It was a Strand
game. You created that right there. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. Yeah.
God, we're long in the show. Here's the thing. Here's the question I want to throw at you though.
Yeah.
Right? Kojima right now is in his phase with promoting his new games where he's talking about how they're gonna be new genres and shit, right? Which, if you go back to Death Stranding, that was like the year before Death Stranding where they started getting into that talk. Death Stranding came out 2019, 4 years after MGS5.
Sure.
Right? It's been 3 years since Death Stranding. Do you think Kojima's next project is on the verge of coming out in the next year or so?
Oh, man. I don't think it's preposterous. I mean, he's already got all the stuff with Elle Fanning going, right? Where he's showing her off and saying, hey, she's in the game and this is what's going to... Like, I mean, this already seems like it'd be building to the, foregone conclusion that at Game Awards do something, right? With Jeff, obviously, Jeff and Kojima so close.
Do you think we get a Game Awards trailer that ends with 2023?
No, I don't think you do. But I think maybe they're trying to do 2023, but I just don't think they'd put the date on there until they're confident about it. Do you think you get a Game Awards trailer?
I think we get a Game Awards trailer for sure. Yeah, and I don't know about 2023. I think I could see them putting it on there and it shifting into 2024 for whatever reason. But I think I'm like 80% sure we see a Game Awards trailer for Kojima's new thing.
Because
I think the next thing, he's been doing all these teases, right? It was the Who Am I? Where Am I?
Yeah.
I forget if Where Am I was the last one or if
it is
up to When Am I at this point.
How am I?
TGS Who L. PAX Where, and then it was question marks.
Question marks.
Question marks, question marks.
And I think the Where might be the Game Awards. That might be the answer to Where.
Okay.
We'll have to wait and see. Story number 5, Rocksteady's co-founders are leaving the studio. This is
Danielle
Pardis at GamesIndustry.biz. Rocksteady has announced that studio co-founders Sefton Hill and Jamie Walker are set to leave the studio at the end of the year. The news was shared in an announcement by WB Games president David Haddad, who said that the pair will begin a, quote, new adventure in gaming together, end quote. Following their departure, Rocksteady founding member and director of production Nathan Burlow will become studio director, and Darius Sedejian will become studio production director. Hill and Walker co-founded the company in 2004, which is best known for the Batman Arkham game series, as well as the upcoming Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. Quote, "Our decision to leave Rocksteady was emotional, to say the least," the pair said in a joint statement. Quote, "From the day we founded the company in 2004, all the way to today, Rocksteady has been our life and soul. Now, with Suicide Squad in safe hands and the team here stronger than ever, it's time to hand over the reins and for us to start a new adventure together in games." Burlow added, quote, "Having worked with Jamie and Sefton as one of the founding members of the studio, I want to thank them for creating what I consider to be one of the best game development studios in the industry. It's been an absolute pleasure to work alongside them, and I wish them all the very best in the future," end quote. In 2018, a report from The Guardian unveiled a repeated pattern of misconduct at Rocksteady. 10 women at the studio co-signed a letter addressed to the studio heads that detailed poor treatment of women, sexual harassment, and derogatory speech towards minorities, which allegedly went unaddressed. Last month, former Rocksteady scriptwriter Kim McAskill shared that the studio offered to pay her to resolve complaints from her tenure at the company, but refused to apologize for any wrongdoing. Greg, what are your thoughts on the story?
Well, I mean, there's two parts to it, right? Obviously, them leaving and then the hanging question, right, of, well, is this actually related to the Kim stuff, right? Because we talk about it being in 2018, but last month is when it got kicked back up, right? Of, she had a Twitter thread, if I remember correct, that was like, "I don't want money. I just want an apology. I just want people to understand and not have to work this way," which, of course, you know, we 100% support. So, like, it is this weird one of, like, well, how much is that? And is this that? And, like, did they get forced out? Or are they leaving of their own volition? Because it is, you know, such a gaming PR release, right? Of, like, they're going out to have a new adventure in gaming together.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Whatever the fuck that means. But you know what I mean? So it's not insane because we've seen it so many times or whatever, but it is that thing of like, it totally taints this in them leaving of what is it actually? You know what I mean? Is it related to that? Is it that they mismanaged it? Is it that they were the, you know, studio heads that are mentioned here because they were the heads of the studio? Like, and if so, is it a force thing? Is it them leaving? Is it WB doing it? Like, there's just a million different questions that kick up a fog around this of what it is. What it is like when I was talking to Mike, who is sick today and planning on moving the X-Cast, and I was talking to Gary about where we could do it and yada yada. And that's when I glanced at Slack and I was like, holy shit, Sefton left Rocksteady. You know what I mean? Because like, Sefton Hill has been, and not saying anything away from Jamie Walker, but I feel like at least in my experience with Rocksteady, Sefton's been out in front so many times, right? And so the fact that like, oh my gosh, he's leaving before they ship Suicide Squad, you know what I mean? And granted, yeah, it's in good hands and yada yada yada, but it's like, usually people want to see that project all the way through. Mm-hmm. And when you see someone leave before, then you have to go, hmm. And the, whatever they were getting, it's like a hmm thing. So it's like this weird one of, wow. Sefton Hill, I think, has been synonymous with Rocksteady, right? But now leaving, you're like, that's, wow. But then was it related to this and what is it? So it's this complicated thing of what exactly is going on over there. What does that mean? Like, what is the climate right now? What is the read of staff over there? There are a lot of questions that, yeah, I imagine Jason Schreier is trying to get to the bottom of right now.
Yeah, it reminds me of the conversation we were having yesterday with me and Tim about the Disco Elysium stuff, of how,
sure,
devs are suing the studio, right, or the company that now holds Disco Elysium. It's that thing of, you know, you don't want to speculate because,
yeah,
you really don't know what's going on behind, yeah, those doors. And, you know, a number of people could be in the wrong or not in the wrong, and you don't want to just throw shade at, like, just whoever. But you stay here and you just hope for the best for everybody. You know, you hope that when they say they're going on a new gaming adventure, that that's more of a positive thing than a negative thing.
But sure,
it's hard to read. Story number 6, we have our first look at the Fallout TV show. There was a tweet that went up on, I believe it was Amazon Twitter. It's opening right,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Prime Video. Prime Video.
Prime Video tweeted out, congratulations and happy 25th birthday. We made something special for the occasion, right? So I'm talking about Fallout's 25th birthday, and they share this first screenshot from the Fallout TV show. And I've been looking for a reason to talk about this TV show. I feel like we never get any details that are newsworthy enough.
Walter Goggins, come on.
And the Roper Report. But like, I'm so excited for this thing.
Yeah.
You know,
this could be a lot of fun.
I think
could be a huge bomb, of course, like anything else. But like,
of course,
the idea of this and Walter Goggins, who I love, of course, from Righteous Gemstones, from Invincible. The idea is so great because the Fallout idea is so great. All these shelters, you go in and you come out and you're going to repopulate it, but you come out and guess what? The world's completely fucked up. Yeah. And like, what do you do with all these people who were up there before, and how do you integrate to society? And like, just seeing the jumpsuits there is so cool.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend Emily Rose.
Let's play Fallout 76 tonight.
Let's not. I was talking to my friend Emily Rose, formerly of G4, about Fallout because she loves Fallout, right? And she mentioned that, like, you know, her idea of what the show could maybe be an anthology style. Each episode is a different vault, which I think would be fucking genius to do. And she made that observation on her Twitter, where, you know, in this screenshot that we saw from the Amazon Twitter post, it is them wearing Vault 33 vault suits, right, or jumpsuits. But in previous leaked photos, there's hints that, like, oh man, this is Vault 32, right? And so maybe we're getting multiple vaults in this TV show.
Sure. Oh, I definitely think you will.
Is there any indication of, through the lore and stuff like that, through the games, of
what those vaults are?
Yeah, like where those vaults are.
I don't know.
Or have they said previously, like, where in the country is it's going to take place?
This is a job for the wiki.
KindOfFunny.com/you're wrong.
And that's their you're job. Wrong. Yeah,
some nerds know.
It's always like side quest shit that'll go into different vaults and like what their nature of is. Like, Vault 69 was like what, one dude and nice, the rest women, right? Each vault is like its own fucking weird social experiment, which is part of why I love Fallout, is the fact that it's so goofy. And so
33 is completely new, says Jeff Grubb.
People will say, yeah, 33 and 32 are new vaults, is what Chad is saying. And so like, that's exciting, right? Get creative with it. Make 33 a vault where, I don't know, man. Like,
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not creative. I'm not a writer on Fallout.
I think if 33 is the one you're going to be set on, then I think it's just a normal
vault.
Yeah, there's
really no such thing as a normal vault in Fallout.
That's true.
It'd be some weird fucked up shit.
Except that one, you know.
Except what, Vault 1?
No, there's one where it was like pretty normal, right?
I don't know if there is. I forget what Vault 101's thing was. Vault 111, I think they just froze everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, the one from Fallout 3, like, they were definitely doing some science stuff, but, like, they're at least, like, living. There was like a little, at least they had like a little mini society still going on and shit, you know?
I guess some people were in chat are saying like some vaults were control vaults, right?
Yes.
Because you want to have the control. Yeah. That makes sense, I guess. I can't wait for the show. I hope it's good. Story number 7, Wolong Fallen Dynasty has a date. This comes directly from the Wolong Fallen Dynasty Twitter, where they tweeted out that the game will be available on March 3rd, 2023. And I'm very excited about that. That Wolong game, that demo was fire.
A lot of people love this demo.
Yeah, it was a really great demo. So much so that I went and downloaded Neo 2. Still haven't played it because review season, but I can't wait to. Greg? I can't wait for Wolong Fallen Dynasty, but March 3rd is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. That's the only one that works.
The fog machine's dying.
Like I said, I give them 6 months. We're already in week 2 and they're already fucking up.
Maybe it's out of juice. I got plenty of juice over there.
Yeah. Good. You can go grab the juice. Make vault.
I'm going to go look at the juice. You keep reading stuff.
Cool. Vault 33, make it a vault where they make Dr. Seuss books the religious texts, you know?
No, I
give me some
that.
Fucking wild
I
shit.
Hate that
give me
so
some fucking
much.
Wild
but
shit.
But I like that idea, but I hate it at the same time.
It's the green eggs and ham, like, they're made to believe that, like, that's a real thing.
There's juice in there.
All right, well, that's...
But it's, like, below the, like, the nozzle. But I think this one is, too. Hit him again. Just
what if we're
see.
In a simulation? What if we're in Vault 33 right now?
That'd be awesome.
I'll never tell you.
Think about it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well,
out today.
If you want the other fog machine to turn on, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny.
Frog Detective 3, Corruption at Cowboy County for PC. Ghost of Dragon for PC. Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. Wanderer of the Rift DLC for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. And then Robotry for PC via Steam, Xbox One, Series X, and Switch. New dates for you. Lunastis, a 3D platformer created with simple but fun gameplay in mind, inspired by the PSX/Sega Saturn era, developed by Grumpy Fox, will be released on November 10th for PC and Nintendo Switch. And then MicPixel 3 explodes onto PC. PC, Switch, and Xbox Series X on November 14th. You gotta love
MicPixel. It sounds like I'd get a Happy Meal and inside would be a QR code that would get me MicPixel on my Nintendo Switch.
Literally, right before the show, I told Barrett that they call me McPoppy.
There's
my
it.
McDonald's orders. Deal of the day for you. The PS Plus Essential lineup for November has been officially confirmed by PlayStation. Of course, we're getting Neo 2, Lego Harry Potter Collection, and Heavenly Bodies. Well, yesterday it was leaked by Deal Labs.
It always leaks.
Which brings me to a question, and we don't have to answer this now, but do you want me to report both times when the Deal Labs leak comes through? Because that's always the day before the actual PlayStation confirms it. And so I'm always reporting on these things twice. Chat, do you want me to skip the Deal Labs thing or just skip the official announcement? Let me know, because the leaks are never wrong. We've confirmed this now.
Leaks are never wrong.
The Deal Labs PlayStation Plus leaks, at least. It's Jim Ryan himself leaking it. Let me know. We're going to skip reader mail. Well, we're not going to skip reader mail, because there is one thing I want clarification on, because I feel like we're getting new viewers every single day on the show now that we're in the studio. Damp Carrots writes in and says, what is a grop shop? And then also, why is it a baker's dozen when it's never 13 items on the Roper Report? Greg, what is your quick summation on that whole situation?
So the grop shop is that it's, of course, mom and pop shops. What's coming to the mom and pop shops is what I used to say on Beyond, right? And then, as always, I flubbed words and said grop, and we all thought it was hilarious, so we stuck around with that. And then Baker's Dozen was the fact that on Beyond, when Colin would gather up news stories, he would put way too many in. It would be like 15 items or whatever, right? And so then we used to argue about if they should stay or not. And then I would start saying when the number, I'd ask how many are on there, and then I would do Baker's Dozen. And then when it actually is Baker's Dozen, I wouldn't say Baker's Dozen. But then here we just do it, and we've never actually hit 13. Well, I shouldn't say that. To my knowledge, chat, I don't remember. I don't think we've ever actually hit 13 stories on a Roper Report.
We have.
On KFGD.
We have.
Have we said Baker's Dozen then?
Because
that's one of those things that's a Greg Miller thing. Yeah, so I'm not trying to. I don't have that in the fucking
Jared
notes.
It was Jared Petty episode. I remember listening to it.
Jared Petty. Oh god. Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't get me started on this guy.
At least during my time, I feel like it was during a work from home episode.
Gotcha.
Where we hit 13, and I forget. We probably did the Roper Report. I'm sorry, we failed you.
No. I mean, again, I didn't really tell you about it, so it's no fun. Again, this all evolved.
Oh, yeah, I do remember this. Chat's reminding me. I said a true Baker's Dozen.
There you go. See, as long as you actually nail it, you say something, you're fine. You got it.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. This table. Crispy writes in and says the actor's name is Walton Goggins, not Walter.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
The Portland Kevin, not to be confused with the San Francisco Kevin, says, quick reminder to vote in the midterm elections if you're in the U.S. Ballots are due on November 8th, less than 2 weeks away.
Not a year wrong, but very important. Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you know what else is coming November 8th? Sonic Frontiers.
That's more everybody. Important. You can't vote. More you can't important. Vote. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. No, get your votes in now so you have time to play Sonic on the 8th.
Nano writes in and says, Vault 101, which is the Fallout 3 one, was a social experiment in which overseers were granted unlimited authority over a vault intended to remain closed indefinitely. God, I love Fallout. It's such a good idea. And that's it. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are going to be me and Tim. If you're watching this live right now, after this is another Ghostbusters stream with Greg and the crew. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember this. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday, live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.